Road of Life. Brought to you by Dove. D-U-Z, does, the new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
Mrs. Miller didn't.
She didn't, but now she does.
Yes, now she does use Dove.
Now she knows that does, D-U-Z, is best.
It does everything.
Mrs. Miller used to frown at those greasy work shirts on wash day and say,
here I go, scrubbing my fingers off again.
Then she'd sort out those dirty towels.
Do you suppose they'll ever be white again?
And she'd look at her pretty rayon slips.
Oh, those colors. How could I keep her from looking so washed out?
Ah, and then the lady who didn't became a lady who does. She found does best. This new kind of soap does everything in the wash. It gives you unsurpassed whiteness for towels, unbeaten suds for getting work clothes clean easy, along with extra safety for nice colors. Now, wash day is a different story for Mrs. Miller.
What do you know? Does in those work shirts is a cinch. I didn't do any hard scrubbing, and look how clean they are.
Of course. Does can't be beat for cleaning power.
Dozen my towels gets them the whitest white I ever hung on my wash line.
Sure, does can't be beat by any soap for really white washes.
And dozen those pretty colors really leaves them brighter.
Sure, does is safer for colors, so they last longer. You see, ladies, does everything. It's been proved best in actual comparisons with 25 different wash day soaps. Does beat them all with its wonderful combination of white washes, suds for cleaning, and safety to colors. So be a lady who does, not a lady who didn't. Does best. Does everything. And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. If trouble comes not as single spies, but in battalions, then Jim Brent has two of those battalions besetting his mind. The first of them is the fact that his wife, Carol, has left for Reno. Her purpose? To divorce him. The second battalion is a meeting of the Board of Trustees of City Hospital called by Dr. Grant Frazier to try Jim for a breach of ethics. His purpose? To force Jim's dismissal from the staff. With the exception of a small, gray-haired little lady, the second-floor waiting room of City Hospital is empty as Jim Brent looks in.
Oh, Dr. Brent.
Hello, Mrs. Jensen.
Oh, hello, Doctor. I saw you pass Elbert's room before, and since he's still sleeping, I thought this would be a good time to rest a bit.
How is that husband of yours?
Oh, well, you know that better than I do. He's getting along fine, isn't he?
He certainly is. I just wanted to hear you say it, though. Your eyes shine when you say he's fine.
I bet they do. I'm awfully happy about the way things have turned out. We owe it all to you, Doctor.
Oh, how about the prayers you were telling me about the other day? Don't you think they counted?
Oh, of course. But I'm sure the Lord used you as his servant to help Elbert.
Well,
isn't much a woman like me can do to show appreciation, but...
Well, don't you worry about that.
Oh, I haven't been worrying, exactly. But I thought and thought, and finally I decided you might like this.
Oh, I'm afraid.
It's here in the hat box, but it's not a hat. It's a, it's a homemade Swedish layer cake.
Well, that's awfully kind of you, Mrs. Jensen.
Oh, it's not much I know, but, well, men folks generally like it.
Well, I'm sure I will.
It's sort of a specialty with me. I haven't made one in ages and ages on account of the war, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured since it only takes one cup of sugar, I could be forgiven since it was for you. And you've done so much for me and my family.
Well, I
hope your wife won't object because you're taking a cake home.
No. It'll be all right.
I'll bet she's a mighty fine baker herself.
She's never baked a Swedish layer cake.
Oh, she wants the recipe, Dr. Brent. I'd be glad to call her.
Well, she...
I don't usually like to give it out. My mother didn't either. She brought it over from the old country, you see. But if your wife wants it...
Mrs. Jensen, I hate to keep you standing. Sit down. You must be tired.
Well, just a little.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to hold that box all the time, Dr. Brent. You could sit it on the table until you go.
That's an idea.
No,
there we are.
I'm glad there's no one else in here.
You are?
Hospital waiting rooms are such sad places. People cry or sit and stare out of windows or bite their nails or... Well, they do all the things people who are worried do.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Do doctors ever feel that way or act that way? I can't imagine you being any way except calm and strong and not worried.
Well, don't you classify doctors as people, Mrs. Jensen?
Oh yes, but... Well, I'll give you an example of what I mean. I heard that you're in a lot of trouble right now.
Oh?
And you don't show it at all.
Oh, well, you've heard wrong, Mrs. Jensen. I'm not in any trouble.
There, you see? That's just what I mean. You take everything as though it's nothing. I can tell you don't want to talk to me about the mix-up you got into on account of Albert. But I want you to know that I know, and I have to tell you how badly I feel about it.
Well, you needn't feel badly. It's just one of those things that come up every now and then, and... couple of weeks, it'll all be forgotten and everything will be back to normal.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Well, I'll feel better when those 2 weeks are over, and I'll bet your wife will, too.
Well...
A woman always feels those things so much
more
than...
Oh, Mrs. Jensen, isn't that the light over your husband's door? I can see it through the door here.
Oh, Albert must be awake. Poor man's probably wondering what's happened to me. Dr. Brent.
Yes?
Would you be very angry with me if I left you and went into Albert?
Why, of course not. As a matter of fact, I've got to get going now anyhow.
More rounds to make?
No, I'm going to take an elevator ride up to the 7th floor and see if my son's in his room.
Oh, is he ill?
Well, all interns have their quarters upstairs. But don't you think you ought to have a look in on your husband?
Oh, my, yes. The elevator's right here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again for the cake, Mrs. Jensen.
Oh.
And tell Mr. Jensen that I'll be in to see him later in the day.
All right. Well, we'll be waiting for him, Dr. Brand.
Seven, please. John.
Come on in.
Hello.
Hey, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome to our hovel.
Thanks.
You haven't been up here for a long time.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Sit down. What are you carrying, a new hat?
No.
Dirty laundry?
No. You can have one more try.
I give up.
Well, then I'll tell you, it's a homemade cake.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you enjoyed standing in a hot kitchen.
No, don't
throw it, Jim. I'll be good.
Okay.
Where'd you get it?
Mrs. Jensen. Wasn't it nice of her?
Oh, you mean the wife of that accident case?
That's the one.
She should give you a cake. In fact, if things don't work out right, she might find herself giving you all your meals.
Yeah, you leave Mrs. Jensen out of this. She's a nice woman, and, well, she can't help it if Fraser's using her husband as an excuse to try and get the best of me, can she?
Well, I suppose not. Well, let's open the box and take a look at it.
All right. Where's your roommate?
Chuck? He's out with a nurse.
Oh. There.
Hey, look at that. Marshmallow top, nuts, candied cherry.
Get your fingers off of it.
Can I have a piece, Jim?
Sure. You got a knife?
Sure, I got a knife.
What in the world do you call that?
A knife? It may not be a cake knife.
It's a scalpel.
It'll do the job. Want a piece?
No, I'm all filled up. I ate lunch an hour or so ago.
Oh, so did I. What difference does that make?
I wish I had your stomach.
Mm.
Is it good?
Is it? I'd like to marry a woman who could bake like this. Has Mrs. Jensen got a daughter?
Mm-mm. Only a son who's a Marine.
Oh, too bad.
Have some more?
No, not right now. I'll rest a bit. Have one of Chuck's cigarettes.
Ah, got some of my own.
Well, have one of his. I'm trying to break him of the habit by denying them to him. You light?
Yeah, thanks. What's that?
What?
That. Lying on the night table.
Oh. Oh. Just a letter.
Oh, I can see that. Handwriting looks familiar.
Yeah, it's from Carol. You want to read it?
Oh, no, no. Does she mention Janie?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sure you don't want to read it?
Well, it's addressed to you.
She does mention Janie.
She does, huh? Well, then, I...
Well, let me read it to you. It's not long. She says, dearest John, just a note to tell you that we're both fine. This is the first really big snow Janie's ever had a chance to play in. She adores it. She tries to build snowmen, dig caves, and shovel the sidewalk, and generally succeeds in getting herself as covered with it as you used to. I wonder if you can recall the Sunday you, Jim, and I drove out to Lincoln Park for a free-for-all in the snow. When was that?
Oh, a long time ago. Go on.
I said this was going to be a note, and I see this becoming a letter. Much to do and little time. Regards from Uncle Sid and Aunt Ellen. Kisses from Janie, and of course, love from Carol. Hi, Jim.
Well, I'm glad everything's fine.
Have you written to Carol about this Fraser business yet?
No.
Don't you think she should be told?
Well, I don't know. Why do you ask?
Well, I was going to write to her tonight, and I thought
no.
I'd... Hmm?
John, I don't want you to write a word to Carol about the charges Frazier's brought up.
Why not?
Because I don't.
Well, that's a foolish
John,
attitude.
John, look. I'd rather you wouldn't write Carol about it because... Well, knowing what a wonderful person she is, she might... Well, what I'm trying to say is that I wouldn't want her to feel sorry for me. That business with Frazier might start working on her sympathies, and I wouldn't want her to alter her decision because of it. Understand?
Yeah.
Well, then be a good guy and promise me you won't mention a word of it in your letter.
Okay, I promise.
Thank you, John. You see, I wouldn't want Carol to do anything that she'd regret. Not that I wouldn't like her to. Well, I think this way is best.
Down at the meat store yesterday, I saw what looked like the beginning of a good argument. The meat man was waiting on one woman.
18 points less 6, that's 12 points.
When up flared another woman.
What's that, subtracting points?
Why, what do you mean?
Well, I heard you. 18 points less 6.
But this lady turned in 3 pounds of used fat. At 2 points a pound, that's 6 points.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
She'd do well to remember that. And so would you. Those extra ration points you get for used fat mean extra meat, cheese, and butter. And now more than ever, you need extra ration points. So save every drop of used fat. Keep a tin can handy on the back of your stove. Spoon into it that fat you skim off stews and soups. Scrape into it the grease from your dinner plates, and also the fat from your broiler before you wash it. More than ever, the government needs your used fats. They contain precious ingredients, ingredients that help make machine gun bullets, parachutes, and life-saving medicines. Save your used fats. Your meat dealer will give you 2 red ration tokens per pound. Be sure to listen tomorrow when DUZ Does will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for the makers of Does, the soap that does everything in your wash. Fight waste at your sink and sink the axis. When you do dishes, don't waste soap. Soap contains war materials.